You are listening to Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops, on hoopfeed.com.
Hi, everybody. This is David Siegel welcoming you to our annual Thanksgiving Dishin' and Swishin' podcast. And as you know, each week we do a podcast on HoopFeed, but for Thanksgiving each year, I try not to focus on what happens on the court. That there are so many things that the wonderful athletes of the WNBA and even college athletes and on do for their communities and do to promote various interests, that I want to focus on something that they do and show you the type of people, these lovely women are off the court as well. And last year we talked to Tamika Catchings, of course, of the Indiana Fever, and we've talked to Swin Cash and Sharday Houston and Tamika Johnson about their various foundations. Well, the person I'm looking forward to talking to now is the Connecticut Sun's Carol Lawson, because if there's one person that in 2012 has done so much visibly to aid so many different things, it's Kara. And Kara joins us now. Kara, welcome back to the podcast. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, David.
Kara, between the whole Pat Summit Alzheimer's awareness, the health with the laws on wellness, and the website that you have there, and the way that you and your husband, Damien, have promoted the healthy lifestyle, this goes back years, though. You know, I remember reading stories about you doing, you know, 100 different community projects in Tennessee.
Yeah, I was, you know, taught by my parents to always give back, and so at an early age, I can remember volunteering, you know, at my church's nursery and volunteering at soup kitchen and volunteering at you know, mentoring younger kids in elementary school. So there was always a sense, at least in our house, of, you know, when you have the opportunity kind of to go through a certain track and you see somebody else starting that same track that you were on, to try and help them and maybe enlighten them and allow them to skip a lesson or two that you did just by interacting and sharing some things that you've learned along the way. So when I got to Tennessee, there's so much opportunity when you're a collegiate athlete to give back in your community. And there's so many people that want the opportunity to interact with that for me was great. So I just set up regular times, whether it was going to a Head Start class I went to every week, different, we were very active in Race for the Cure and in different breast cancer charities. So just giving back and being a part of the community. I think it's important wherever you are that you're not just closed in and locked into what you're doing. And that's something that as athletes we're trained to do. You know, you hear your coaches say it all the time, is, you know, be focused, be present, be here, be worried about what's going on in between these lines for these couple hours, and don't worry about anything else. And while I think that's a valuable skill, I also think you need to understand what's going on around you, understand what's going on in your community, and when things happen, find a way to help. So that's kind of, you know, our mindset wherever we live, Damien and myself. You know, we try and really put ourselves into the community and find ways that we can help make it better.
Going back to the time at Tennessee, now I know all NCAA athletes participate in a level of community service, but the Tennessee program, in addition to the fact that the rabid fan base makes it a little bit more visible just, you know, because of it, the nature of it, I know that Tennessee tends to do more and over and above what some of the other programs are required to do, and they make it an integral part of your college experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Just what you touched on. I mean, you have such an impact. I mean, I can remember my first week on campus when I was a freshman, and I was headed to the store, the grocery store, to get some food, and pulled up to a light. And the person next to me started honking crazy, just honking their horn. And I'm thinking something is wrong. And I look over there, and they just wanted to wave, you know, wave at me and roll down their window and say good luck on the season. And I hadn't even played a game yet. You know, it was my first week on campus, and they already knew the players and the recruits and just wherever you went in town, everyone was excited and wanted to talk to you and wanted to wish you luck on the season and ask how the players are doing and the team is doing. So that type of passion shows how much people appreciate when you interact with them, when you give back to them, when you put yourself out there, because they have such a passion for women's basketball there, and just appreciate everything that, you know, Pat Summitt built in that program on, you know, just the foundation of just being a good person, being somebody that's a positive influence in the community.
And, you know, honors have certainly come your way based on what you've done. Not that you've obviously pursued them, but, you know, going back to again, still at Tennessee, you know, you won the Torchbearer Award, which was the highest undergraduate honor there, and then you were recipient of the NCAA's award given to the top 8 student-athletes across all divisions in all sports for their contributions athletically, academically, and in their communities. So, you know, that's something that, you know, 8 people out of all sports, that tells exactly how much you actually did when you were in college.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the Torchbearer Award was something that, you know, I was really proud of then. I remain proud of now because it speaks to your impact on the campus and in the community. And I believe I was the first Lady Ball basketball player to win that award. I do remember Coach Summitt saying that she had never written a letter of recommendation for Torchbearer Award. She was one of the people. I figured that would be a good selection to ask Coach Summitt to write one of my letters of recommendation for that award. But it was one of the things that I wanted to do when I went to college was have a full college experience. And I think sometimes you can just be pigeonholed into whatever you are as a college student. So if you're, you know, in the band, you can kind of just hang around, you know, music and all that all the time, and that becomes your college experience. If you're an athlete, sometimes you're just hanging around training table and study hall with other athletes and practice with your teammates, and you're not really getting a chance to get out and experience what the entire campus has to offer. So I really made it a point to belong to different clubs and belong to interact with different kinds of people. So whether it was I was in major in finance, so I was in the Financial Management Association there. So getting a chance to know some of my fellow finance majors on a personal level, being in an investment team where we met year-round through the summers, and, you know, getting to know some of my professors, all of those types of things I felt were really important so that you could see and understand what everyone's college experience was like. So for me to get that award from the university, to recognize, again, not just how many baskets I scored or how many points or how many wins I had there as an athlete, but to recognize my total contribution, I think that to me was probably the most meaningful thing that I've won probably up to this point, because it recognizes your total impact.
And now, then you in the pros, things changed. You relocated. You were out in Sacramento for quite a while. But you've always been big into the health and fitness scene. And really, what you mentioned Race for the Cure, and of course the breast cancer initiatives are huge in the WNBA. So you were involved in that. But how long has it been that you started to get into the whole transformation of the diet and the veganism and getting into those aspects and encouraging people on that front?
I would say it was around 6-7 years ago that Damian and I started to really lock in on health and fitness in terms of trying to learn as much as we could. And it was more for ourselves at first. You kind of have to do a self-evaluation and see, you know, what are you eating? How are you taking care of your body? Are you sleeping enough? What are you drinking? are there certain things that that you're drinking or eating that maybe are hindering your performance as an athlete, and even just your energy level and your performance as a person, right? I mean, do you have the energy level to just do what's required of you on a daily basis? So we started that probably about 6 or 7 years ago, and it's been a total evolution because we started essentially from scratch or our own scratch, right? Knowing what we thought were the basic tenets of nutrition to evolving to a point now where we're, you know, full on vegan and have a website where we post recipes and more than anything, just I think inspire conversation about nutrition. I think that's been probably the thing that I've seen the most and maybe the most valuable thing is when you're sitting down with someone at dinner or even next to them on an airplane or just talking with one of your teammates, somehow the topic always gets back to nutrition because of, I don't know why, if it's because we're vegan, if it's because of the website, but people want to talk about it and want to ask questions or want to know, you know, what you're doing and what your philosophies are. And I think that's a good thing. I think in any facet of life, if you're inspiring conversation and you're inspiring thought on a subject, especially when you look at you know, the state of our country in terms of our health and our nutrition, if you're getting people to think about it, I think that's a first step. And you know, then hopefully maybe they integrate little things from what you're doing that can allow them to live a healthier lifestyle.
Yeah, there's no, you know, I'll be the first to admit that, you know, what I had always heard of being vegan, you know, I always kind of turned my nose up and it said, you know, it's A, too much work, and B, you know, people are a little a little strange to be doing this and like that. But you're exactly right about the inspiring conversation being so key. Now, getting to know you and Damien, I started to look more into this, and I've realized that while I'm not necessarily ready to give up a steak myself right now,
well,
it's fascinating. And I find myself frequently going to your website and looking at the recipes, and you know, and you and I have had discussions, and Damien and I have had discussions during the season, you know, about how you do this while on the road, and you know, some of the, you know, I'll walk into the locker room with people that I love and see you with these drinks and just say, wow, what is that?
Yeah.
And with discussion, it's great.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I was the same way, David. I mean, if you had told me, you know, 8 years ago that I would be a vegan, I would have told you you were crazy because I would have said, well, you know, vegans are weird or vegans are, you know, they're just different. I mean, I don't know what they're doing or what, you know. There is kind of that stereotype out there that, you know, vegans kind of walk to a different beat or are judgmental maybe of your own food, of other people's food choices and things like that. And, you know, just speaking for Damien and myself, I mean, we're not that way. I mean, we do what we do because it's what works for us. But in no way, you know, in no way do we judge what other people, eat or what their food choices are. But again, if we're open to answer questions and tell people why we eat certain things and, you know, how it's been beneficial. And, you know, I think the thing that has really hit home with people more than anything, because we're all, I think, results oriented, right? I mean, you can be doing something, but if you're not feeling or if you're not seeing a benefit, sometimes it's hard to continue to do it. Because you want to feel like what you're doing is working. And so I certainly think that, you know, the type of season I had and the way I played this year probably helped spark more conversation because of the fact that the results were there and people could see a difference. And I think that made people think, give even second thought to, you know, the lifestyle and the way we eat because they could actually see tangible results.
You know, and even before that, you know, when you guys decided to run in the New York City Marathon events last year, That's, I know, opened some eyes. It definitely opened my eyes. And that, you know, obviously you've been in great health because of the fact, you know, you play basketball. You know, there's no question that you have to maintain a lifestyle and a fitness level just to be able to do the things that you've done. But then, you know, running distance becomes a different matter. And for you to do the run that you did and Damian to run the marathon, you know, that immediately, to me, you know, spoke volumes about the levels, A, of commitment, and B, the success that the lifestyles, that you changes that you had made did for you.
Yeah, that was kind of the first big event that we had after we changed. As a lot of people don't know, that this season we were vegan, but last season we were vegetarian. So last season, the 2011 season, actually we gave up meat for that season. So we did not have meat during that year, and it was soon after the marathon that we decided to make the plunge into veganism. And you know, I think that was just part of inspired by all the great things that we had felt, and we had seen the changes from giving up the meat, and then also by the commitment to training for Damian over the course of months to build yourself up for the marathon. And so now, you know, he's run 4 marathons in the last year. Was supposed to be 5, unfortunately, with Hurricane Sandy, and they canceled the New York Marathon to focus on the relief efforts. And so, you know, our group this year wasn't able to run the New York City Marathon, but we were able to still have the campaign, which was, you know, to raise over $30,000 for the Pat Summit Foundation. And so that was you know, almost double what we did a year ago. So we were pretty excited about that.
And Damian has told me that he's going to be running in D.C. this year in lieu of the New York one.
He is. So we had a team of 5 runners. We had one of them run Chattanooga Marathon last weekend and to still go through the campaign. And then 3 of our runners will be running in D.C. In March. To finish what we started. I mean, even though you know, nobody asked for their money back or anything like that, there is an element of finish what you start and finish out the campaign. So they'll be running the Rock and Roll Marathon in D.C. in March.
And since you gave me the perfect segue, you know, the one thing, of course, that when it comes to giving and you, that everybody is aware of this year was the tremendous commitment to the Pat Summit Foundation that you did. You started it with the marathon run and your run last year, your involvement in raising funds for Alzheimer's. But this year you took it to another level, and you know, I like to think that that's part of the reason that you had such a great season.
Yeah, I do too. You know, for me, it was, you know, everyone asked me, well, how did you think of it, or, you know, what was kind of the impetus behind doing it? And as you said, we started the campaign last year, and during the off season, I was training and preparing for the season, and just had this great sense of confidence that I was going to have a really good year. And so wanted to do something connected with basketball, because I feel like, you know, when you do something connected to the game and it's something positive for your team, and positive for you as a player, it just can kind of give you extra motivation to be really efficient and, you know, to be productive. So for me to decide the 3s and then not only to have a career high, but really, really smash my previous career high and have a team record in 3s this year, certainly think that a big reason, a big part of that was because of the motivation to do it for the foundation and to raise as much money as possible.
And the foundation itself, of course, has been very successful, and there's a great deal going on with the Pat Summit Foundation and the Alzheimer's awareness. And, you know, there are other things that people do and other ways that you can give. And, you know, Kerry, can you tell people where they can make donations to your efforts for the foundation?
Sure. Actually, everything is through the Pat Summitt Foundation website. So probably the easiest thing to do is just to Google Pat Summitt Foundation. And you go on the website, and there's links to click to donate. And you can donate to the foundation itself, or there's a drop-down menu where you can donate to our campaign. And it's all going to the same place, but it's just headed under our campaign if you want to do that as well. So, it's an opportunity to make a huge difference, and it's something – you know, that we talk about is Alzheimer's in general is probably the most underfunded of the major diseases. And there's just not a lot of awareness out there, not a lot of, government help with it. And so it's afflicting a huge percentage of the older population. And so it's something that can happen to any of us. And it's not something that has been cured. It's not something that can be slowed, and so it's something that we really need to put as much money as we can into research to find a way to cure this disease, so that the next generation of our older citizens hopefully can have a cure for this.
Absolutely, I mean, I agree 100%. Have you talked to Coach lately?
I have. I talked to her a few days ago, actually. Oh gosh, it was like 2 or 3 days ago. Called her, and she was doing well. She was actually on her way out to walk with her dogs. So she does that a couple times each morning. She's locked in. I mean, she's doing everything that the doctors are telling her to do, and making sure that she's exercising, eating right, and of course it's basketball season. So she was really excited about the start of the season.
That's pretty funny. I was kidding around, but I see Pat on TV now more since she's been retired than when she was playing, when she was coaching.
Yeah. She went on a little victory tour there, right, all through the last year, and rightfully so. I mean, all the different awards and the different organizations that have honored her just for her impact in sports and really her impact on women and just the way that she's carried herself throughout her career. So. Her, you know, to me, obviously, I know her and have a great relationship with her. You know, they can't honor her enough for what she's done and what she continues to do. You know, to come out and to publicly acknowledge that she has this and to really fight it in front of the world. I mean, there's a lot of people that you know, sometimes fight their diseases silently or sometimes. Away from the public eye, and she's chosen to do it right smack dab in the middle of it in order to help inspire people that have it. So that to me is leadership, and that's why she was so successful as a coach, because she is the consummate leader.
Yeah, as a fan of the game, I had always known about her incredible ability as a coach and the great job she had done creating the program and all, but it wasn't until I really started to get more involved in things like the podcast and writing that I really began to see what an incredible impact she's had on the lives of so many great people and the type of person that she is in continuing to do so. As you mentioned, it just shows, you know, what she's like. It speaks volumes about that. I would be remiss if I didn't ask you, the way the season ended had to leave somewhat of a bitter taste in your mouth, but to see Tamika Catchings win the championship, you didn't want to see her beat you, but it was nice to see her win that trophy up.
Yeah, certainly Ketch is somebody that has waited a long time, you know, 12 years to win a title. And, you know, it's not how sports work. They don't give it to the player that deserves it the most or that works the hardest. You know, that's just not how it is. I mean, you have to be a part of a special group and have a run when it matters. And so it took her a long time, but I think anybody that knows her knew that she would get there at some point. And so for that team in the fashion that they won, you know, without Katie Douglas and taking on a team that pretty much everybody thought was going to win the title from the day the season tipped. In Minnesota, with all the talent that they have, I mean, they're clearly the most talented team in the league, and you know, the way Indiana did it, I mean, they're deserving of the championship for sure.
And so just to wrap things up here, to let people know, the website for the vegan recipes and stories and various videos and things that you've got up is Lawson Wellness, which is spelled LawsonWellness.com. And I encourage everybody to go and see there before Thanksgiving so that they can look and find some things that they can have.
That's right. We're also going to be doing a vegan Thanksgiving meal, so I'm pretty sure we'll have that posted. I don't know if we'll have it posted before Thanksgiving. I'll have to talk to the chef, Damien.
let me tell you when
that's going to be up there. But, yeah, we're hoping to do some different things during the off-season. I know that we're going to have a vegan Thanksgiving up there. We're going to do actually a juice fast, which we've never done before. Just for 3 days. We're also going to do like a raw week, so it's a raw vegan week, where this season I actually went raw vegan on game days. So I did that through the course of the season, every game day, didn't eat any cooked food. And so we're going to do a week in December where we have recipes and doing that. So just things that, just like I said, inspire thought, maybe inspire small changes. Try and help people, and we've gotten a great response from our family, from our friends, and from people that have visited the site. So we're just going to keep trying to come up with, you know, with new information and new recipes, and try and help people out with ideas.
Well, man, those pumpkin mini loaves that are on the website look awesome, I got to tell you.
Yeah, I enjoy that our website is dessert heavy. That is a huge that was a huge mandate by all three of us, that we have plenty of desserts on the website. So I like testing them all.
Well, Kara, I want to thank you for your time, and of course I would also be remiss if I didn't mention that, you know, I'm not obviously the first that knows this or all of this about Kara. Because for the second time, you know, she was recipient of the Kim Perot Award for sportsmanship this year as well. You know, showing the type of demeanor and person that she is on and off the court. So, Kara, I want to thank you for being you and for doing the things that you do, you know, both on and off the court. You are truly inspirational to a lot of people.
Well, thanks, David, and thanks for having me on. And hopefully we can do this again soon.
And we'll see you during the college basketball season doing those hosting duties on ESPN.
I will be there.
Any men's games on tap yet?
What's that?
Any men's games on tap for you this year?
I was in the studio for the tip-off marathon and did the wraps for the Kentucky-Baylor game, and then the two men's games after that, which was Michigan, Cleveland State, and then Kansas State, Alabama, Huntsville. And then I'll be in studio Sunday, tomorrow, which is I have four games. So it starts off with the UConn, Texas A&M game, and then three men's games thereafter. So a mix of both men's and women's games. I don't quite know what conference I'll be in this year for the men. We don't have those scheduled yet for after the first of the year. But a little mix of both. There's basketball all the time in our house. So it's pretty much what's on. We only get about, I always tell people, we only get like four or five channels. We actually get, you know, I don't know how many hundred, but the only ones that are on are the ones that play basketball in the winter, that's for sure.
Right, exactly. Well, hopefully we'll see you doing a little bit. Love your color commentary as well, not just in the studio. So that'll be great to see you out there at courtside again. So.
All right, sounds great. Thanks, David.
Take care now, and best to Jamie, and have a great Thanksgiving.
Okay, you do the same.
Bye-bye.